Today's shir begins the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. Three lines on top of the wide lines with the words Umelach Salkundaris. Another Gersin of the mission is Umelach Salkundaris. Whatever the case may be, this is the last of the items that are Asurin, but the Ein Isuran Isur Hanoah. Fek the Gemara first. What is this? My Melach Salkundaris. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel Melach, it is a type of salt, Shakol Salkundre Roim Yoichlen Isa. Told the Salkindrei of Rome, eat. Rashi says, Nachtoinen Shabaraimi, the bakers of Rome. The Ran says it means the princes of Rome. Now what's wrong with the salt? Such Rashi, as the Gemara will soon explain, there's nothing wrong with the salt, but they used to mix in schmaltz, fat of fish that were not kosher with this. They made large pieces out of it, and it was hard to tell. Zakting what a vaitre, Tami Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Melech Salkundar is Shechayda, if it is black, Asura, Levon, if it's white, Muteres, Tibir of Meir, is the health of Meir in this Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. Levon, Asura, if it's white, it's awesome. But Shechayda, Muteres, if it's black, it's Muter. And Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Gamliel, Meshum, Rav Chanina, Ben Gamliel, Oimer, Zuv, Asu, Asura, both the white and the black kind are awesome. Amad Abba, the Rechon, Amad of Yoichanin, Rediva, Yoimer, Levon, Asura. According to the Mandiyama, who says that the white one is awesome, that's because he holds, or in his place, Kirvei Dogim Levenim Teneim Yerovin Bar. They used to mix in the schmaltz of white Tamadika fish. And therefore, it was the white type of salt that you had to worry about. Now, the Ravid explains, they don't argue. It's just that in their respective areas, there were different problems. There were different kinds of fish that they used to mix into the salt. And therefore, you had to know where you were to know what was asa. For that matter, that's because in his particular area, Zev Zem Yeruvim Bar, they used to mix in both. Sometimes white, sometimes black. There was an old Akum in our area. So he introduced a new problem for the salt, because he used to smear it with the fat of Chazir. So again, we see the same message. The Gemara's message is, especially the way the Ravid explains it, no one really argues over here. When it comes to these type of asurim, one can never let his guard down, because the world constantly changes, the customs of people constantly change, and therefore, what may be mutter today could be asur tomorrow. Now, as explained earlier, that melech salkundaris or melech salkundaris was the last item on the list. The Mishnah reiterated, harielu asurin v'ein isuran isur hanon. Now, as we know, there are no extra words in the Mishnah. So if the Mishnah stresses harielu asurin v'ein isuran isur hanon, the Mishnah comes to exclude something which may be similar to this. But if not the Ein Yisur and Yisur Hanoah, there we would say that it is Asur B'Hanoah. So what is it that the Mishnah is excluding? Where would we not say that the Ein Yisur and Yisur Hanoah? Answer the Gemara L'Chizki, according to the Sheet of Chizki, L'Miyutei B'Yedua. This is what we learned earlier on. One of the items on the list was Ukvashin Shedakin Losif L'Toychon Yayin V'Choim. It's preserves where, with the nature of those preserves, the derech was, the custom was, to put yayin and chaymetz into it. Although the Mishnah says, the ein yisur and yisur hanah, that's because saif kol saif, we're not absolutely sure that they put yayin and chaymetz inside. There's an element of safek. The chances were they put yayin and chaymetz, and that was the derech, but we don't know it for a fact. Chizki added that if that element of safek has been removed, and you know in regard to a particular set of kivashin, that for sure they put yayin and chaymetz in, and the Yisr is brought into include an Yisr Hanoah as well. So that's what the Gemara means. L'miyutei b'yidua. Yidua is different. If you know for sure the wine is there, then it is Asur B'Hanoah. But Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Chizki, and therefore with Rabbi Yochanan, we have to say that the Mishnah comes to exclude something else. And the Gemara explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, L'miyutei m'rayis, it would come to exclude fish brine, Ugvinas Beisu Naiki, and the cheese from Beisu Naiki. The Neir holds those things are Asur B'Hanoah. That's what the Mishnah is saying over here, and indeed we would have to say that Astama, this unanimous opinion of the Mishnah, this conclusion of the Mishnah, Kerb Neir, is in accordance with the Shita of Rav Meir, which is not hard to understand, because anyhow, the rule is Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir. Zok the Mishnah Zaitre, this is the last Mishnah in our Perek. Now here we're going to see the list of things that are Mutter even B'Achila, the Elu B'Tarin B'Achila. Obviously, there is a hab amina that it should not be mutter b'achila, or else it wouldn't be a chiddush. But here are a list of things that may be suspicious still chazal weren't kaza. For example, chalav shechalav yevik kechavim, the yevik kechavim is the one who milked the cow, the Yisrael reyeyu, and all we have is the yid seeing him. We don't have the yid actually milking the cow. Despite that, it's still mutter b'achila. Second item, v'hadvash and honey. The Seder Yaakov brings over here from the Taisus Yamtiv and Kiddushin Perik Beis Mishnah days that the Dvash referred to over here doesn't mamish mean honey, but it means a drink made out of honey called med. And it brings many others that point out that sometimes Dvash refers to honey proper and sometimes refers to this drink called med. Being that we're dealing over here with inyonim of chasnus, with inyonim of the type of things, the type of setting that we're concerned for, that is for the Yid to sit down and have a drink with the Yaakov, so it may be mistaken to say that that's what the Mishnah is referring to here, with the honey. It's like the Mishnah Vayter. The Hav Devonios. Hav Devonios is Rashi, are clusters of grapes. Apple Pishim and Natfos, even though they're dripping, Ein Behemishim Hechshim Mashka. That Mashka is not a concern of Yayin Esach. That Mashka isn't even considered something that would be Machshir the Yoichel in Mekamel Tumah. And the reason is, being that the Davdonios are the Tzayach Achila, the male that is ain't out a noicha from the mashka that is dripping from it. It's not what he wants. And that's the halacha. The Gemara learns from Tzukim. The mashka is not mashka, something lekabel tum, unless he wants it. And if it's not considered a mashka, there's also no concern for Yai Nesach. There's another pshat from the Rambam in his Tirish to this Mishnah. He explains that the Vdoniyais are chalis advash that were taken off the kaveris. And when the Mishnah says, even though they're dripping, the Mishnah means to say that even though you see something dripping from it, so you may have been concerned that he poured wine on it. And therefore the Chiddush is that that is not a concern. It may be dripping with something, but it's not wine. Vayter zok the Mishnah, ukvashim izo preserved, she'ein darkan lo seis l'toichan yayin v'chaintz. Well, we don't know for sure, but we know that with this type of preserve, it is not the derech, it is not customary to add any wine or vinegar to it. Zitaris she'enetrufa, this is a kind of fish, but in this case, the reason that it's mutter v'yachila is because it is not beaten, it is not scrambled, and therefore because you can see whole pieces of fish, like the rosh or the shadr that the Gemara is going to discuss, you can recognize that it's a dag tahar, that's what the Mishnah says, that it's mutter v'yachila. In the previous case, we learned about teris tarifa, where you can't tell. V'tzir she'yash badaga, tzir she'yash badaga is fish sauce, and we see a kalavis, a kind of living thing floating around in it. Now, that kalavis itself may not be kosher, but the fact that it's floating here is a simin that this fish sauce comes from dagim tahir. Vayter zok the Mishnah v'yalo sholchiltus. In the previous Mishnah, we learned about a kurt sholchiltus. And therefore, there was a concern that he cut it up with a knife that was not kosher, or a knife that had on it fat, or bliyos of iser. If you have the entire leaf of the chiltus, which is a type of vegetable or a type of spice, there's no concern that he cut it up because he obviously didn't cut it. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. The Zaysim Gluskois Ham Gulgalin. Zaysim are olives. Gluskois are cookies or cakes. And Gumgalin means that they were made round. And that's what it is over here. These are olives that the Yerde Kechavim put into a type of a press, a round type of a press to soften them, and they come out like round cakes. There is no concern that he poured wine on it. The Yerseim of Yerse says, Hashluchin Asurin. The Gemara is going to tell us what that is. Hachagav maboy min haslula asurin. Now, as mentioned earlier, there are types of grasshoppers which are tahar, although today we stay away from all grasshoppers. Most of us do, because we don't know which ones are tahar. However, we're assuming now that these grasshoppers are from the type that are tahar. There's another concern that the Yerde Kechavim may have poured wine on it, and therefore we are told as follows. Hachagav maboy min haslula asurin. Those that come from the small basket, the basket that was customary to sit in front of the chanus of the Yaakov. These are also biachilo because, in order to attract customers and to give it the proper fragrance or to make it look right, they would pour wine on it. However, in a hafseg mutarin, those that come from the stock, the chagavim that are found, in the stockpile, in the barrels, they didn't pour wine on it yet. If you pour wine on it at that point where it's piled up that way, you're going to ruin it. So we know they didn't pour wine on it. And the male mutarin, at that point, it is motor biachila. V'chein l'trumah, the Gemara is going to tell us what this means over here when we say v'chein l'trumah. It's going to refer to a kohen who is chashud to sell trumah l'shem chulin, which he may want to do. The price of trumah was not as great as the price of chulin because only a select group of people could eat trumah. So if the kohen who is chashud, who has a reputation that he may try to sell off his truma as chulin, if he places a small basket in front of his store, you can't buy it because it could be truma. However, we are not concerned that he would do this with his stockpile. And the reason is that would be taking a tremendous chance, because if Chazal catch him selling a stockpile of truma l'shem chulin, They may very well be maskers and tyroids, and therefore we don't think that he's going to take the chance, although he could take the chance with a small basket that's sitting in front of his store. The Gemara begins by discussing the halacha of the milk. The Yavdi Kechavim milks the cow, but the Yid is there watching it, and that is okay. Tanina l'hada tani rabbanan, this supports what we learned in this benaisa, for we learned, Yoshev Yisrael b'tzar edro yishel oyved kechavim. The Yisrael can sit near the Yavdi Kechavim's flock. The Yavdi Kechavim choylev loin. And the Yavdi Kechavim milks the cow, or maybe loin, brings him some of that milk. There is no reason to be concerned. What are the circumstances over here? The assumption, as Rashi explains, that the Yid didn't actually see him the entire time. Therefore, if there is nothing that is tame in his flock, so pshita, it's pashit. Why should I be concerned? The Yid is sitting here. The Yavad Kicham didn't go out in the middle. He couldn't have imported something from the outside. And he has nothing tame in his flock, so why would you even have to tell me this? Incidentally, when we say davar tame, so the Rishonim explain, the Rimalunim explains, that the concern would be for either donkeys, camels, or chazeres. Any one of those could produce the kind of milk where, if we're not careful, we could confuse it with cow milk. But there's no concern over here, because he doesn't have any donkeys or camels or chazeres in his particular flock. So that can't be what the Mishnah is telling us. That would be Parshat. On the other hand, the De'ikah Davar Tamei V'Yadroi, if there is something Tamei in his flock, if he does have a camel here or a chazer here, so nay, why should it be good? After all, it's obviously talking about a case where the Yid did not see him the entire time. And for the Gemara Li'olam, I will tell you De'ikah Davar Tamei. Yes, there is something Tamei over here. Ayushvayla is, so then why should the Mishnah say it's mutar biachila? How do we know that this isn't camel's milk? The answer is that while we're saying that at some point he doesn't see him, it's not so pashut. He could see him and he can't see him. What are the circumstances? They are such that the chikai, if the Yid was standing, chazila he would see. The chiyasa, but if he was sitting, chazila he does not see. So the Yid comes to the farm to buy his milk and the Yavad Kichazan says, please wait over here behind the gate. When he stands, his head protrudes over the gate and he can see what the Yavad Kechavim is doing. When he sits, however, he cannot see. Ma'alitem, I would have thought, kivin de Yosef loy chazilei, being that when he sits, he cannot see the Yavad Kechavim. And if you're going to allow the Yid to purchase milk under these circumstances, at some point, some Yid, or during one day, he's going to be sitting. And the Yavad Kechavim may be waiting for that opportunity to mix in something that is tamei. Nechash, I should be concerned, Dilma Maisi Umiyarvde. He's going to bring some non-kosher milk and mix it in. Kimash Malan, then we're not worried for that. Kivan Nechikai Chazilei, being the Yavad Kechavim knows that should the Yid stand up, he can see him. And even if the Yid is sitting now, he has no guarantee that the Yid is going to stay seated. He can get up at any point. So therefore, this is the rule of Yaitzev and Nechnas. This is the rule of a spot check where Irtusei Mirtis, he would be frightened to do something wrong, and Mamela Volemiyarve, he would not mix in something over here that is non-Tami, even if right now the Yid is in a position where he can't see. The halachos of Stam Chalav or Chalav Stam are discussed in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chasam Sofer Yerideya Simen Kav Zayin, and the Chazainish at the end of Simen Mem Aleph, and the Yigus Moshe Yerideya Simen Mem Tes, and it's beyond the scope of this year to discuss it. Let's just bear in mind that even the Igus Moshe, who is Mako, based on these types of Gemaras, where there is no concern of mixing in things that are non-Tamei, also makes it very clear that that is only the Shasat Chak when there is no other choice. One Akuda, though, that the Ritva does speak out, we'll mention that. This halacha of Yoshev Yisrael B'tzad Edrei Shogai is Dafka Yisrael Gadol and a Bendas. So we're not just saying that a Gadol is enough. We're saying it has to be a Bardas. The Archas Chaim brings the Shem Derim Mikorbo that the Roya, the one who is watching the milk, that is rendering this milk Chol of Yisrael, has to be more than 18 years old. The Ritva goes on to explain that Shmir is cotton Mishal Goy Lam Shmir Hiklau, and even though we say that you can eat Taris Al Yadoi, that is, on the Mnemonis of a cotton, that were makled by Taris. Something that you leave in the Rishos of a cotton and you come back and you find it the way it was, there's reason to be makled. But if there is any chash that someone may have switched something, then we cannot trust the cotton, because it could be the cotton didn't realize that things were switched on him. He isn't mature enough to realize that those things happen and alert enough to understand when it happens. You do the famous Maisa in Yerushalayim during some of the difficult years, during the hunger years. A little boy was walking down the street and he was holding a gold Napoleon, a coin worth a tremendous amount of money, which he found and took without permission from his father's drawer. And he went over to a Yid who used to stand in the street and sell candies. Obviously, he wasn't doing very well during that time. People didn't have enough money for food, never mind candies. When the father realized what happened, he ran after the child and said, "What did you do?" And the child began to cry and admitted that he purchased some candy with it. He asked him where the change was and said that there was no change. And so he ran over to this vendor and said, "Where's the change? My son gave you a gold Napoleon." And the vendor claimed he didn't. All he gave me was a regular coin. A din Torah ensued, and the Bezin decided under the circumstances that the vendor should swear that all he received was a regular coin. The vendor did not want to swear. He wound up having to leave town. He said he would spend his life paying up the difference should the din Torah rule that he has to pay, although he maintained his innocence. No one ever realized what happened to him afterwards. It was only after the hunger years were over, many, many years later, that a neighbor on his deathbed called in the family and said, "Let me tell you the story. As your little child was running with the gold Napoleon, I bumped into him. The coin dropped. When I picked it up for him, I switched it with a regular coin." And then the father spent the rest of his life seeking out the vendor and trying to make amends with him. It turned out he was one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim and so on. But a child is not alert enough to realize. He may say that it wasn't switched, but the Akum realizes the child is vulnerable and therefore he cannot be trusted. That's what the Ritva says over here. But they ask the Kasha that the Ritva seems to contradict what he says himself in the Sechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Over there he says that we do rely on Ketanim, Sheshayim Rimbasar Kasha Biyad Gai, and the same is true for Cholav, that the guy milks and the cotton sees him. And over there the Ritva says, being that there is no Cheskos Yisr on the milk, that it's good. And B'Emes, that's how it's ruled in Shulchan Aruch Yerideh Sim Kav Chav Zayin, Sif Dalet. It's brought down Mishem Mitzvah Sarajba, that a cotton sheesh lay das li shoyel, cotton that has enough das to ask and point out that something is wrong, if he sees something wrong, we can rely on him. Because at any time that we feel that the Yevi Chav may be concerned that should he try to switch something, it'll get out, if he has any concern that this cotton is smart enough to even suggest something was wrong, that even though he may not constitute a good aid, but it is enough for what we're looking for. The Ramah Paskins, Shem B'Yusuf Ahatar, that even if a cotton ben Tess, who is only 9 years old, sees the milking, contrary to the psak we said earlier, the mother Paskim, then it does help. So there are different shitas over here, and there are various different mahalchim to explain the theory in the Ritva. Then come makom laharach bezedjus to be me other than the Kodesh. Zakti Gemara Vayit. The Mishnah tells us v'hadvash, that the dvash of an Eved Kichavim is mutar b'yachila. The Gemara explains the dvash because when it comes to honey, why should we be concerned about the honey? Imashimi Ruve, should the concern be that the Eved Kichav may have mixed some wine in? He wouldn't, because Mistra saw it. By doing so, he'll spoil it. It's going to spoil if you put wine in. Imashim Bishuli Eved Kichav is the concern that it's Bishalakim. Nechel Kamei Shuhuchai. Honey is something that you could eat when it's raw. And we learned the rule earlier. Anything that you could eat raw is not Bishalakim, even if the Eved Kichav cooks it. Whether the reason is, as we discussed earlier when we learned this halacha, that cooking something that could be eaten raw isn't considered cooking, or whether it is considered cooking in a gay other inyanim, like Erev Tavshilin, for example. However, it's the type of cooking that won't lead to chasnus, because you don't really feel that the Erev Kichavim did anything for you, could have eaten it raw anyhow. But the point is, there is no issue of Bishalakim on something that is Nechol Kamash Huchai, so that can't be the concern. Maybe your concern is absorptions from kalim. Imashim geulei of the kechavim, the need to kasher kalim over here, because of absorptions of non-kosher things. If that kind of flavor would be imparted into the honey, nice and tam lebgam, who would be anyhow a nice and tam lebgam, it would not be a pleasant flavor being put in over here, and therefore a mutter would be mutter regardless. Taisus told us earlier in the Lamed Chesem Hazeh, when it comes to dvash, what comes into the dvash could be considered a nice and tam lebgam, even if it's more than an absorption, even if it's the N, depending on the circumstances. Zakti Gemara Vayitra, in the Mishnah we learned, V'hadav devonios, afal pi sheminatafos, ein behem mishum hechshir mashka. Rashi explained this means clusters of grapes, even though they're dripping, the liquid is not going to be machshir, the oichel, to be makabel tumah. There are many fakti Gemara, I'll ask you a kasha. We learned that a baitzer legas, Betzira is the act of taking off the grapes. The picking of grapes is referred to as Betzira. Haboitzer legas. Someone is taking the grapes off with the intent to press them in the wine press. Shami emir hochshe. Shami holds that the liquid that comes out of the grapes is machshir the yoichel to be makabel tumah. After all, eventually he intends to press these grapes out, so he wants the mashka. Hilal emir loy hochshe. That the mashka that comes out of the grapes is not machshir to be makabel tumah. But then it says that the oidele hil l'shami, hil was mided to shamai, that it is machshirat l'kabel tumah. Now, if it is machshirat l'kabel tumah, that means we consider it a mashka, we consider it wine. If we consider it wine, then we also have to consider it wine in regard to concerns of stami ayin. And for the Gemara, hasam of their kaboyle l'mashka. The case that shamai and hil initially disagreed upon, and then they came to terms that for sure it is considered a mashka, that's a case of where he is taking the grapes to put them into the wine press. He wants these grapes to extract the mashka from it. So some liquid squirts out into the baskets as they're carrying the grapes. He's happy with that. On the other hand, over here, hach over here with these devonias, look about the mashka. He doesn't want them for mashka. He wants these grapes to eat. So he isn't happy when juice squirts out of it, and therefore, we don't consider it mashka. The next item on the list was the taris she'ena terufa. As long as it hasn't been cut up, so we know what kind of fish it is, and we know that it's not a problem. Tani d'bana, we learned in the Braisa, eza taris she'ena terufa. In other words, how whole does it have to be that we still consider it ena terufa, we consider it unscrambled, and we feel secure enough that we can tell what type of fish it is? You have to be able to tell the head of the fish and the spine of the fish. Rashi explains, the Gemara will discuss this further, that with all fish, you can tell by their heads whether they're tamei or not. Even though that's not the official siman, the siman that the Torah gives, of course, are the fins and the scales. But then when you start chopping them up, you can't always tell. Therefore, there are other simanim, the Chazal tell us, if their heads tend to come to a point, that's a sign that it's a fish that is tamei. And also, fish that are tummy don't have a chut hashedra, don't have a spinal cord. So therefore, if you have the head over here and you have the shedra, even though we can't see the fins and scales anymore, that's enough. That's considered unscrambled enough. And the other type of fish that is mutter bi'achila, the Mishnah told us, is the tzir shiyesh badaga. Tzir is fish sauce. The A is the tzir shiyesh badaga. What does this mean? And so the Gemara calls she kill this achas, or ishtei kill the earth. We go now to the top of Mem Amid Aleph Shetetet. As explained in the Mishnah, as we explained earlier, when you have fish sauce of fish that are tahar, by nature there's a small fish called a kilvis that lives in this. And if you don't find it in the fish sauce, there's a chash that maybe he mixed in over here, the fish sauce of Dagim Tumeim. And therefore, if you have one or two kilvis floating in it, it doesn't necessarily mean that the kilvis itself is kosher, but it tells us that the fish sauce comes from kosher fish. So, what do you mean one or two? Not the kilvis achas amichai. If you say that even if you have one kilvis fish over here, that's enough to be matrit. So, shtei kilvis mebaya. Do you have to tell me that if you have two, it's mutter? So, if you have two, it's for sure a raya that the fish sauce is kosher. And for the Gemara loy kasha, kambit sucha is kambit stumas. We're talking about two separate cases here. One is if you have open bowels, and the other is with a closed bowel. And this is how Rashi explains it. If the bowel is open, one is not enough. Because for all I know, this didn't come here naturally. Maybe it fell in from the outside, or worse, maybe Nevet Kichavim put it here to make it look kosher. If you have two, then we're going to assume already that it came from inside. On the other hand, if the bowel was sealed and closed, so there's no concern that Nevet Kichavim put it in, because until now the bowel was closed, so if I open it up and I even find one, that's enough. Tarsus disagrees. Tarsus says that if by tsuchas there is a chash that the Yaakov put it in, so the same way he put one there, he can put two there. And therefore Tarsus learns the other way. Tarsus says that tsuchas, if it's open and all we find is one, so we're a little bit troubled by this, why there's only one and not two, but being that the bowel is open, we're going to assume that the second one fell out somehow. On the other hand, if it's stumis, if it's sealed, and we still only find one, so then we're concerned. Why is there only one here? If this was natural, it should have been at least more than one. It couldn't have gotten out, and therefore, being that we only have one over here, maybe something is wrong. Now, we mentioned earlier that the kilvus itself is not kosher, and that comes from Rashi in the Mishnah. That's Shitas Rashi. However, in the Chedushei HaRashba, and in the Taisus Hari, Meberina, and in the Namukha Yosef, we find a Shita that the kilvus itself is kosher, even though it has no fins and scales, but being that it is something sheshatz of the kelim, so they bring rice and the Gemara Masechtas Chulin, and under these circumstances it would be kosher. Now, Lamaisa, this is Shitas Rashi, that the biology is such where if it's seer of dagim tahayim, it'll produce this kilvus, and if it's seer of dagim tameim, it won't. But it's all natural. But the Tzvar brings another shita here. He quotes the B'Shem V'Rabbeinu Tam, although we don't know where this Rabbeinu Tam is, that there's nothing natural that grows here. There was a universal sign, like a simin tahara, that if a yid prepared fish sauce, he put in a fish called a kilvus, which is a kosher fish, to indicate that it was kosher. That was like a chosim, like a sign. The term kilvus, he explains, that the Tzvar explains, was a common term used for a small fish. Like the Gemara says, Amos kilvus aliviyasin. Even the great and mighty leviyasin is sometimes bothered by the little kilvus. Memela, when the Gemara says it's a concern, if the bowels are open, it means something else. It means if the bowel was open, perhaps by accident the kilvus fell in over here. But it wasn't placed there as a siman tahara. If you have two, then we understand it was placed there as a sort of a marker that this fish sauce is kosher. Sakti Moravaitu, Itmam di Shiva Galantana Mem. Rav Huna Amar Rav Huna says that in order for the tourist to be kosher, Achadei Roish Veshedra Nikar. It's only kosher so long as the head and the backbone are still recognizable. Rav Nachman says you don't have to have both, Oy Roish, Oy Shedra, either the head or the Chut HaShedra. Masiv Rav Lukhar Bacham, we learned that a bedogim, when it comes to fish, kol sheyesh lo snapper v'kaskeses. So what we're looking for is fins and scales. We're not looking at heads or backbone. Rashi explains the stress of the Gemara's kasha. The Mishnah in Eilut Treifus makes it very clear to us what types of fish are kosher. And all the Mishnah talks about are what the Torah tells us, and those are the fins and scales. So it's mashna from that Mishnah that those are the only simonim we work with. We don't look at anything else. It's not a kasha neither of Hun or of Nachman per se, it's a kasha on both. Why are you b'chalal introducing new types of simonim for fish? And for the Gemara, Amar Abaya, when the Mishnah in Eilut Treifus stresses just the fins and scales, the Mishnah is not dismissing that there are other ways of checking a fish. The Mishnah means to say that sometimes the Zoysh and the Shedra simon is not conclusive. And therefore we look at the fins and scales. Kitan Yahim, we learned that Mishnah in Eilut Treifus, it says, look just at the fins and scales. What type of fish is that referring to? The Ara Ufalmuda. Those types of fish. The Dama Rishai Lutneim, where their heads tend to have this pointy effect, the type that Dagim Tneim usually have. So the Mishnah says, okay, so forget the other Simonim, and look to see whether they have fins or scales. But Stam is an easier way to check the fish is look at its head or look at its spine. In other words, what the Gemara is saying that it explains is, snapping the kaskasis is the conclusive sin. The other simonim have some place as well. I know this from the Halakha Magen Rosh Hashanah, how exactly we use these two simonim in conjunction with each other. That is the set of Rosh and Shedra as opposed to the snapping the kaskasis that the Torah talks about. Zakti Gemara Vaitam Rav Yehuda B'Shmei De'ula, Machloikis L'Tavel B'Tzion. We learned over here Machloikis in Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, whether or not you have to have both the Roish and the Shedra, or it's enough to have one of the two. Where do we apply that machlokes? B'negei the shaila of whether or not it is mutter to dip something into the seer, into the sauce of this fish. Abul begufan. But to eat the fish proper, that is the teris fish, divrei hakol everyone holds aser, atchei Roish v'Shedra nikar, you must have both the Roish and the Shedra. Abul begufan, but if you want to eat, is the actual teris fish itself, not just to dip something into its sauce, divrei hakol aser, then everybody would hold that it's aser, atchei Roish v'Shedra nikar, unless you had both the Roish and the Shedra clearly recognizable. Amar Rav Zeir, Meresh havin mitavilna b'tzion, I used to dip things into the fish sauce of the teris, even if I only saw one of the two simanim. Kivin the shemana l'hadam of Yehuda m'shmei de Ula, once I heard, however, of Yehuda saying in the name of Ula, that machlokes, this machlokes in Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, whether you have to have both, or as Rav Nachman says, you can have either one. That's only the tavel b'tziron, if all he's doing is dipping something into the sauce, Aval begufim, but if he's going to eat the goof of the fish proper, the actual teris fish, divrei hakol asur ad sheilo yishu sedri nikra, then even if Nachman would hold that you have to have both the head and the backbone recognizable. So at that point I was more machman, but tzira nami loy mat vilna. I didn't even use this, if I only had one, that is, one of the two simonim, I wouldn't even use it to dip something into. Rashi explains, Rav Zeir was first under the impression that the Rav Huna and Rav Nachman only argue about eating the fish proper, but when it comes to just dipping something into its sauce, even Rav Huna would be moida that it's enough to have one of the two simonim. Now, however, that he heard that it's the other way around, that when it comes to the guf, even Rav Nachman would be moida you have to have both, and their machlaikis is about just using the sauce. So therefore, I stopped dipping in if I only had one simon, because l'maisa, I passed on like Rav Huna. Now, Tosfos explains that the fish sauce is also awesome midiraisa. The Gemara in Chulin Dashan's hatmeim l'rabbis siron v'roitfon, that any sauce, any brine, or any soup that comes out of it is also awesome. So what is the basis to be more makel with the fish sauce than with the fish itself? The answer is, says Tosfos, that with the fish sauce, we are soimich that it becomes bottle b'roit. Now, Shenkin, if you're eating the goof, we don't have that heft of it becoming bot. But it's important to emphasize this. There is nothing inherently different between the source of a davar tamei and the davar tamei. Both are equally as awesome as the ice. The only reason we're being mechalic over here is that in the case of the source, the metzias is that it could be the if it became bottle b'roi. That's where we're being more nekel. Zakti maravaita marapapa yochel, so the halach is, atshiei roish, v'shadr nikr, shokal achas v'yachas. You cannot use the fish unless you can recognize each small fish over here, both by its head and by its shedra. Mesid Gemara Kashkas, like we learned, Chaticha Shiesh Ben Simen. Pieces of fish that have some type of a simen, that it is kosher, Ben Bekulon, Ben Bimiksasan, whether it is found in regard to all of the fish that are laying here, or only to a portion of fish in this mixture, afila di echad mimei shebehen, even if the proportion of fish that still have the kosher mark are very small, even if it's only 1 to 100, kulan mitaris, it's enough to say that it's all mutter. So how can Rav Papa tell us that each and every fish over here has to have the simen? And indeed, the Gemara continues, umaisa by the kichav mechad, there was a story with one of the kichavim, shehevi garv shel chatichas, who brought a whole barrel containing pieces of fish, the nimtza simen biachas mehen, and they found only a simen in one of the fish. The hitter of shin megamilus, a garv kulan, and he was mounted the entire barrel. Tikkun of Papa, said of Papa, who told us that each and every fish needs a simen, explained that what was the case over there, and where is the case in general where you say that only one piece has the simen and it's enough? So the Papa explains, that's like a big white fish that you would see on a fancy platter. The fish is cut up, but you see how all the pieces fit together, that it's all one fish. So over here, if one of them has the simen tahara, and I obviously see it all comes from one fish, and then the whole fish is tahar. Mashenkein, if it's a mixture that comes from many different fish, then you need a simen on each and every one. Sekti gemara ihachi. If where it's kosher is only where you can obviously tell that it all comes from the same fish, so remember, what's the chiddush? Of course you don't need a separate simen for each piece of fish. You see that it's all one fish. You can't have a part of the fish that's kosher and the other fish that's not kosher. So if it all comes from the same fish and one of them has a simen, it's obvious that it's good. And for the Gemara, it may not be so obvious. Maybe it's not all from the same fish. After all, it is cut up. Maybe it just so happens that the one who put the platter together was very good, and he was able to work things out that it looks like it's one fish. Kamash Malon, it's for that we're not chashish. If it looks like it's one fish, even though it's all cut up, we assume that it is one fish, and one kosher piece is machsha the rest. Zakti maravaita hu arbe de tzachnasa. There once was a whole boatload of tzachnasa fish, the osi l'sicha that came to sicha. Nothing refunded by chinana. So the Fonda Bachinina went out to inspect whether or not the fish are kosher. The Chazabe Kelfi, and he saw some scales over there. He didn't see scales on every single fish, but he saw some scales. So he assumed that the scales come from these fish, and therefore the Shahi was mattered. Amalei Rabbi, the Rabbi said, Umi Yikah the Shari, Kahagavna, especially Biastra in the place, the Shchichi Kelfi. If it was a place where you didn't have scales, and suddenly you see a barrel or a particular load and there are scales there, then I can hear a basis to assume that it's all kosher. But here you have a market where there are fish that are tamei and fish that are kosher. The fact that you have seen some scales over here doesn't indicate that this particular boatload of fish or that all of the fish in this boat are kosher. The scales you saw came from the kosher fish, but there could be many fish that are not kosher. Nafak shifure de rava v'asa. Rashi in Masechtas Ksuvos, Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph explains this term. It means that they sent out people and made an official announcement that it is asa. Shifuri comes from the Lashon of shofar. They went out blowing a shofar, as if to say, listen people, we have an announcement for you. Just like in the Midbar, when they had an important announcement or a meeting, they blew chatzitzes. So when they had an important statement to make, they would blow a shofar. However, Rav Huna Bar Chinina didn't reverse his opinion. Shifurei did Rav Huna Bar Chinina, his messengers went out to the Shari and maintained their opinion that this entire boatload was muta. Zakting, what if I tell Rabbi Yemi, Yemidifte, L'didi Amali Rav Papi? Rav Papi told me that Kishar Rav Huna Bar Chinina, that even Rav Huna Bar Chinina, who was mati the fish, Bitziran, he was only mati the use of the source of the fish. Avu Begufa Loi, but he was not mati eating the fish themselves. Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi said, Lididi, to me, Amalit of Papa of Papa said, that Kishar Rafuna Bachinina, when Rafuna Bachinina stated his heter then, when he gave that opinion, there was a fill of a gufa, not only the negay of the source, where there are additional sekas of the yisr becoming bottle beroid, but even in regard to eating the fish proper. Incidentally, when Rafuna Bachinina was matir, the entire boatload, because he saw some scales over there, we're talking about a boatload that only had one particular kind of fish. If not, he wouldn't have been matter it, says Tysus, because then it's obvious there are different types of fish. Kosher and other kinds of scales could have come from the kosher fish. Now, the reason Rava was machmir, even though this particular shipload had only one kind of fish, was that there were other fish on this boat at a different time, and therefore scales that are laying around or scales that are floating around could have come from anywhere, despite the fact that right now there's only one type of fish over here. Alkopon. What did Ravashi Paskin Lahalacha? Vanos, as I'm concerned, on the one hand, Loi Mesa Asrina, I didn't officially answer eating the fish proper under these circumstances, the Karmelit of Papa, because the Papa told me that if one of the Chinen was matter even to eat the fish. On the other hand, Loi Misha Sharina, I didn't officially give a heter, because the fact is, the Wamalit of Yehuda Mishmei De'ula, that Machloikis, the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, whether or not you have to see both simanim on each fish is only the tavel b'tziran, then again, whether or not you can dip something into its sauce, avu begufan divrei hakel, everybody holds, achi roish v'shadra nikar, shol kol echad v'yechad, that you have to see clearly two simanim, the head and the spine of every individual fish. So being torn over here by these two piskei halachais that contradict each other, they never officially issued either an issa or a het. And they were sitting in session, and the following tzakalacha came out. And a reva, says Rashi, is a small boat. So an oivet kechavim brought a small boat full of bows, and imtzaz kilvis di achas mehen. Now Taisa says kilvis doesn't necessarily mean one fish. The Gemara means they found how many kilvis it takes to be machsherit. Respectfully, according to Rashi or Taisis, and according to the Gemara's earlier Teretz, kilvis means the shear of kilvis. There may be one, there may be two. So psuchais, if it was open, kulan mataris it's all mut. Even though they only found the shear of kilvis in one of the barrels, but we assume that indicates to us that it's all kosher, i.e. you don't have them in the other ones, they probably fell out somehow. But that you can only say if the barrels are open. Stumais, if they're all closed, and you only find the shear of kilvis in one of the barrels, so you can't say it fell out of the other ones. The other ones obviously never had it. The one barrel where you found the kilvis in is mutter, but the others, all of the others, are asr. Amalei, so he said to Menalucha, how do you know this? And he answered, Mitlasa Kroishamim, I heard it from three psukim. Three psukim, says Rashi, means three great tzaddikim. Three great chachamim and gedolim, that it is kedai to be saimach alayim, as if this was a beferish apostle. And who are these great tzaddikim? Meirav, the Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan. Now here's an interesting nekuda. The Seder Adayis brings in Elif HaChemishi, quote, V'nimsa b'kabbalah, she'nefesh Rav, nizgalgel d'Rashi, v'nefesh Shmuel d'Rambam, v'nefesh Rabbi Yochanan b'Rabbeinu Tam. U'kemoy she'halacha ki Rav di, surei kein halacha ki Rashi. Ukemoisha halacha kishmuel bedine, kain halacha kaharamba. Ukemoisha yesh pilpul bin rav shmuel hayakoven halacha kereb yachanin, kain b'makam shloin eskavnu rashi v'rambam, nikva halacha kerebenu ta. And he quotes it also from the Sefer HaGulgulim, which I think is from the Maharam Nipano. So it's just interesting that the Gemara says over here in Mitlasa Kroy, from the three psukim, and Rashi says, Megimu chacham gedoylem shem kedai lismach aleim ka'al ha-mikra, and they are Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yechanan. Zok the Gemara right. Amar Rav Drayin Amar Rav. Kir bedagim the uvra. Kir bedagim is the shmalz of the fish. Uvra means, as Rashi, the eggs. You can only buy them from someone who is trusted. Ramalai Ula would have destroyed the Minbiri. Minbiri is a place. Says Rashi, midakamara. The kibbe dog in the Ubra. A nixon element of mumcha. Michal Zarai, the dak tami yisla yuber. Even, in other words, if you can only buy the egg from a mumcha, that means that you need a mumcha. Because you can have an egg which is not kosher, which comes from a fish that is tame. But I may ask you, Akasha, we learned. The dag tamei mashritz. Mashritz, explains Rashi, means that the dag itself forms the ne'imai. Dag tahar, it is only a dag tahar that is matal bayim, that lays eggs. Oy bazoi, the mere fact that you have an egg should already be an indication that it's kosher. It shouldn't be necessary to have to buy it just from a mumcha. The Gemara's initial response is, enachanami, sami mikan ubra. Take out the word eggs over here, because eggs, you don't have to buy from a mumcha. Amalei Rebzeir ever told it, Loi Sasami, don't take out the word eggs. I will explain to you why you have to buy eggs from a mumcha, and I will also explain to you what the Tana means when the Tana says that eggs only come from a kosher fish. The M is Tarvayu Matile Bayaninu, both lay eggs. The difference is, Elezer Mashritz Mebechutz, Rashi explains, the Daktar lays the egg, and only afterwards is it Neshretzes. But the egg, even before it produces a fish, stands on its own in the sand. Dak tamei, however, is mashritz mebifnim, inside the meha'ein. In other words, there is a process of an egg, but it all happens internally. Therefore, theoretically, if you open the dak tamei, you would also find an egg. So, enachanami, if I had the fish in front of me and I saw the egg was inside, or I had the fish in front of me and I saw that there was no egg inside, the egg was found on the outside, that would tell me whether it was a kosher fish or not. But if all I'm buying is the egg, I don't really know. And therefore, you can only buy from someone that is trusted. Sveik the Gemara, Lamali Mumcha, why do you need someone who is trusted? Live the Simanim. Why can't you be by the yourself in the Simanim to determine whether or not it's kosher? They're simple enough. And if we live in the Braisa, Kisimani Deyim, Kach Simani Dagim. If we touch the words literally, the Braisa is saying, just like you have Simanim to determine which are the Deyim of an Oif Tahar, you also have simanim, the same simanim that determine what type of fish are tar. In fact, the Gemara, simanim dogim sal ketaitach, could that be what the Tana is saying? Simanim dogim, snapir v'kaskasksiv v'hu. The Tana says the simanim for dogim are fins and scales. I don't understand your comparisons over here to the simanim of bird eggs. Elena says the Gemara, obviously the Tana is telling us something else. The Tana is telling us, ki simanim beim, just like you have simanim to determine whether or not the egg of a bird is kosher or not, kach simani oibri dogi. You have the same simin for fish eggs. The elu hen simani bayin. Here are the simanim for bayin to determine whether or not they come from a kosher bird. The Gemara is going to point out several characteristics. Kosher kaderis, that's the first one. Kaderis means it's oval-shaped, as opposed to round. Agulgelis. Agulgelis means that although it's oval-shaped, but there's no part that's flat. In other words, if you turn the egg on any angle, it's always going to rock, even though it's not exactly round, but there's no part that's exactly straight. Rosh echad kad v'rosh echad chad. Although there's no part that's mamish flat, however, one side of the egg tends to be more pointier than the other one. Kad is the opposite of pointy, from the lashon of kad, like a jug, which is flat at the bottom. So again, it's not mamish flat, because then it will lose the simon of agulgelis. But it means to say that one side of the egg, as we see with chicken eggs, one side of the egg is more pointy than the other side. Rosh Yechad Kad, Rosh Yechad Chad. If you have these simanim, then tahar. On the other hand, Deiz Rishel Chadin, if both sides are equally as pointy, or Deiz Rishel Chadin, both sides are equally as unpointy, So to me, that's assuming that this is a talmidic egg. Another characteristic of a kosher egg is that the yellow is on the inside and the white is on the outside. If, however, it is reversed, that's a sign that the egg is tame. The yolk of the egg, the yellow part, is called the chelmoin. And the white part is called the chelboin. The simple simen to remember that is chelboin begins with the letters chalav, which is white. So chelmoin mebechutz. If the yolk is on the outside, the chelboin, the simen, the white part is on the inside, that's a sign that tameya. Chelboin mebechutz. If the white part is on the outside, the chelmoin mebechutz, the yolk is on the inside, as our eggs are, tahar. Chelboin vechelmoin mu'ravin zevizeh. If it seems to be mixed together, he bayas hasheretz. Rashi explains, in particular, it could be the bay of a toad or the bay of a lizard. Now you may ask, whether it's tamei bird that is tamei or a sheretz. In both instances, obviously, the egg is not kosher. The answer is, says Rashi, that if it's a bayas hasheretz, under certain circumstances, in addition to the fact that it's not kosher, it can also be matame b'maga, as the Gemara says in Masechet Scholim. Al-Kulpanim, back to Al-Kasha, why do we need a mumcha? Why do we need someone who is trusted? After all, the simonim seems simple enough. You can check the egg yourself and see if it's kosher. And for the Gemara and the Hanani. Omar Rava, when do we say you need a mumcha? When do we say you need someone that's trusted? Kishinamucha. When the eggs are no longer whole. If the eggs are whole, you have to check the simonim. But if they're not whole anymore, none of these simonim can help. Why didn't the Gemara answer that the simonim of eggs are simply not deraisa? So Tosis, at least the first part of the Tosis, and some other Rishonim suggest, is a raya from this Gemara that the simonim of eggs are deraisa. However, Tosis is marked to say that it may not necessarily be so. Al kulpanim, let's remember how the dialogue began. The dialogue began by suggesting that you only purchase fish eggs from someone who is trusted. The Gemara's first shaila was, but I thought if there are eggs, that alone is a simon that comes from a kosher fish. Talmidic fish don't have eggs. And the Gemara's first response to that was, Rav the Stoid Ben Biri's response was, Enochanami, take out the word eggs. It's not necessary to buy fish eggs only from someone who is trusted, because the mere fact you have eggs that either come from kosher fish. Frek the Gemara. So his sheet is, later on the Gemara different to him, but Rav the Stoid Ben Biri's sheet is, that if you have an egg, it must come from a kosher fish. There is no such a thing as an egg from a non-kosher fish. Frek the Gemara, as it turned out to Amit Beis, how can you say that? The Atanya we learned in the Braisa, the Braisa of the Gemara quoted earlier, that kisimani bayim kach simani ube dogim, that the simanim for birds' eggs are the same as those of fish eggs. And that's so you can tell whether they're kosher or non-kosher. So obviously there are fish eggs that are non-kosher. The Tanya says so. And for the Gemara, well, obviously something is wrong with the Girsa that Braisa. Lav terutze kamitartas, well, didn't you have to explain the Girsa anyhow? Because the initial Girsa of the Braisa was, kisimani deyim kach simani dogim. And right away the Gemara asked, simani dogim are similar to the simanim of deyim? Simani dogim, the Torah tells us, are sinapri and kaskeses. And therefore you corrected the Girsa to read, kisimani deyim kach simani deyas dogim. So I'm telling you, correct it differently. And read, kisimani deyim, kach simanei kirvei dogim. This price is telling us that there are certain insides of the fish. If you want to know whether or not it comes from a kosher fish or not, it's similar to the simanim of dayim. But anachanami, there is no price that teaches us how to tell whether the egg itself is from a kosher fish or non-kosher fish, because if there is an egg, according to this sheet, it must come from a kosher fish. Frek the Gemara. Let's say that there are parts of the intestines of a fish where you can apply the other simanim that were discussed. But one sentence simply doesn't make sense if we're talking about kirvei dogim. The hechi mishkachas b'simoni kirvei dogim shikad v'chad, that it should be sort of duller on one side and sharp on the other side. And for the Gemara, mishkachas la b'shalfucha, shalfucha, Rashi gives us the old French word mashia, which ties us to part of the bladder. There is a part over there which is blown up, and the way to test whether it comes from a kosher fish or not is to see whether one side is more round than the other side. What if I want to buy fish eggs that are not whole and there is no mumcha? What can I do? If the man who sells it says, I salted it myself, and trust me, it came from a kosher fish, mutar, and that's enough. Rav Nachman, however, wouldn't be satisfied with that. It's not that we don't believe him, but how do we know that this man knows what a kosher fish is? Therefore, if Nachman Amar, we cannot assume that it is kosher. Archi Yomer, unless the person clearly says, Elu Dagim, here are the fish, and he shows him the fish. He says, I salted these fish. The Elu Kirveyan. Here are the insides of these fish. Then I can believe. Because then I see Taki, took it from a kosher fish. Oyelei of Yehuda La'ada Daila. Rav Yehuda instructed Ada, the one who prepared his sudais, that's what Daila means, his shaft or his shamish, that prepared his sudais. He told him, Kimin Da'amah Ani Malachtim, if the man tells you I salted it, that's enough, mutar. In the Mishnah we learned the Alash al-Chiltis, the whole leaf of the Chiltis is not a problem, meaning that it's a whole leaf, the Akum didn't cut it with a non-kosher knife. Rekti Gemara Pshita. Why should it be a Shaila? And the Gemara, Le'nitzcha el-Lekratin Shabai. And Rashi explains what happens is, even if I'm going to purchase a whole leaf, but there are some little pieces which I assume fell off the leaf, whether it's in the keli, whether it's attached to the leaf. Now, Ma'alatem, I would have thought, Nechash Dama Maisil Ma'arvei. Maybe those other little leaves were brought from another chiltis, which he did cut up with a non-kosher knife. Kamash Malala, we're not concerned for that. If there are some small pieces over here, the Ishtaruka Yideishtarik, it probably just fell off of the leaf proper, Vasa Bahadon, it's stuck together, it's coming along with it, but he didn't bring it from someplace else. The next item in the Mishnah's list is the Zaysig Luskois Ham Gulgal in rolled olive cakes. Rekhtim Rapshit, of course it's kosher, what's the Shaila? Loi Nitzuch, I wouldn't need the Mishnah's Chiddish, only for the following case. I will have the Rafi too, even though it's very soft. So that's a little bit suspicious. And now at the time I would have thought, Chamra Ramabu, maybe you put in some wine to make it so soft. Kamash Mulan, even if it is soft, Hani Machmas Mishchahu de Rafu. These olive cakes, because of their natural oil, they tend to become very soft, and we're not concerned about wine. Rabbi Yaisi Yom Shluchan Asu and Hechidami Shluchan Om Rabbi Yaisi Barchanina Kosha Oichsoi Diyadai. When you pick up the olive cake, the garinasi neshmetis, and the pit falls out automatically, it just slips away, that's already too soft. That's a little bit too good to be true. And over here, we don't think it happened naturally, but there's a strong shash that he may have added wine. Sakti Maravaitra. In the Mishnah, we learned the Chagavan Haboen, and the Mishnah goes on to say, those in the baskets in front of the store are Aser, those in the stockpile are Mutter. Tani Rabbanu, we learned the Braisa. Chagavin, grasshoppers, vaka, frisin, that's from the caper bush. It's a shomer to the tzlaf, Rashi explains. Akaplutais, these are leeks or onions, according to others. Hadboin mina oitsa, that come from the storage house. So mina heftik, or from the stockpile. Mina svina, or from the boat, mutarin. Because at that stage, they don't pour wine in. However, hanim karin bikatlusa. Lif mechen vini, those that are sold on the counter, in front of the shopkeeper, asurin, itnesha, mizalaf, yayin, alayin. At this point, they do pour wine on it. And that's the only concern, Rashi says. There's no concern of Bishalakim because it is Nechol Kamashu Chai. There's no concern of Ge'ulay of Dekechavim because it is a nice and time of Gam. The concern is that they pour wine on it, and therefore, with each item, you have to know when or when not they would pour wine. For example, V'chen Yain Tepuchim is a similar halacha, though not completely alike, but there's a similar halacha with apple wine, Shalav Dekechavim. Haboim in the Oitz are those who come from the storage house, Min Haheptik from the stockpile. Umin Aslula, and in the case of the Yain Tepuchim, even those who come from the baskets, Mutar. Our Mishnah told us the Chagavim are Aser from the baskets. So there's another degree of heter with the Yain Tepuchim. Animka Bekatluza, those that are sold on the counter, Aser mit Neshem Arvin Bayayin, at that point they add wine to it. Tani Rabbanan Pamachas Chosh Rebbe, the Mayor Rebbe was not feeling well. He had a problem with his intestines, Amar, so he said, Klum Yeshodim Sheyidea, if Yain Tepuchim Shalev the Chagavim Aser I Mutter, because he knew that was the Rafua. Amal of Yishmael, but Rabbi Yosi Pamachas, it once happened that Chosh Abba the Meir, father had a similar problem. That was 70 years old. The Shosan, he drank it in a snap and he was healed. Amal, so Rabbi said to him, you had such a Messiah by you, and you caused me tzar by not telling me. Batku. So they went to look if anyone has such type of wine. Umatsu, and they found David Kichav Nechot Shahayalai Shalish Meyaz Garbi Yain Shel Tapuchim. He had 300 barrels of apple wine, Shalayan Shona, that was aged for 70 years. Vishasav in Israpa. Amen. Rabbeinu Akadish said, Baruch Hamakim Shemotsu Lomay Lashoimrin. The Kavana being this Akim had to hold on to the wine for 70 years, so Rabbeinu Akadish should have a refuah. And everything in the world works that way. We don't know what the tachlis of each item is, but the Rabbeinu Shem has his Cheshbainus who watches things for him. The Mishnah's distinction of between the basket and the stockpile of the chayin l'trum applies to trum as well. Nay the chayin l'trum, amar of sheishes the chayin l'koyin achashud limkar trum l'shem chulin. As explained in the Mishnah, the price of trum is cheaper. So we're scared that this koyin has a reputation of selling what is really trum as chulin. Lifonov, the items that are in front of him on the counter, who the oser, that we say don't buy from him because that's how it could be trum. Avolabam in oitzah, what he brings out of the storage house, I mean, I have to go from the stockpile, I mean, a slula or from the basket with his more of the stock, mutter. Why? You're too similar to fear. He's frightened. What is he frightened of? So, v'shami be'rabbanan, the Rabbanan are going to hear that it's truma, u'masuli minoyan, they're going to say that it's hefker. So whatever they're going to catch, they're going to be maskim, and he won't take a chance if there's too much piled over here.